Very happy to be here with you. But first, let me highlight a few individuals that will support me in the presentation and doing extraordinary demos. These guys have volunteered time and a lot of effort in putting this together, so I really hope you enjoy the presentation. Noel, thank you. Thank you for being here. Clema, thank you for being here. Darian, Ravi, Raymond, and Law, and RK. So you'll see their demos right after my presentation, and I really want to thank these individuals for putting together a great show today. So Microsoft is putting a huge bet on the cloud. This huge bet on the cloud is to empower people to deliver to the best of their abilities and their capability. What we want to do is democratize the cloud to lower the bar to give access to the most people to technology. Before, you needed to have a lot of money, a lot of CapEx to take out a server, to roll out new technology. Today, you just need a credit card. And we know in emerging markets, sometimes credit cards can be challenging, so we're also working on that. I want to show you an example of a video of how technology and innovation can bring access to the masses to a better life and to a better community. So we're going to roll over to the video.
There are 2 billion people who don't have access to basic banking, but that is changing.
At Temenos, with the Microsoft Cloud, we can enable a banker to travel to the most remote locations with nothing but a phone and a tablet.
Everywhere where there's a phone, you have a bank. Now a person is able to start a business and employ somebody for the first time.
The Microsoft Cloud helped us to bring banking to 10 million people in just 2 years.
It's transforming our world.
We see business innovation as a key growth lever in the world and a key growth lever in the market. We know especially this region has been challenged in the past few years with, for example, the devaluation of the currency in Malaysia, with the new GST tax. We've seen in Thailand the death of the king, political unrest. We've seen in Indonesia the collapse of commodities. So we need to find ways to be able to deliver growth and jobs in the market, and we see innovations as delivering that growth and those jobs. Now, how does Microsoft deliver that value to our partners and our customers? As you know, we started Azure about 5 years ago, and we see that the most valuable part of delivering to our customers and our partners is in the application space. And that's how we started Azure. We started with platform as a service. But as you know, Microsoft always gets it right the third time. So it took us a few cycles to realize that the market wasn't ready for a great innovation in PaaS. We had to address the fundamentals, which was infrastructure as a service. So we went back, we did our homework, we changed our strategy, and we rolled out infrastructure as a service about three and a half years ago. So now we've addressed the fundamentals of the infrastructure, and we're rolling out and we're growing in that space because this is the place where a large portion of the market opportunity is. But we're also growing our platform as a service at a tremendous rate. You've seen a lot of changes at Microsoft with our new CEO. Our CEO was fundamental to building this cloud platform. And to be able to really be the platform of choice to our customers, we need to be a more open company. And so I'll talk about it in the next few slides. But first, where are we going and what is our vision? Our vision really is to be the hybrid platform of choice for your business. What does that mean? That means we need cloud consistency across on-premise, across the public cloud, and across our partner service providers. One unified cloud to deliver a seamless experience across these different locations, because cloud is not a place. Cloud is a platform wherever you want it to be. I want to touch upon the scale of the Microsoft Cloud. When we talk about Microsoft Cloud, and it's not only about Azure. It's about Dynamics 365. It's about Office 365. It's about all our advanced capabilities such as Cortana, artificial intelligence, enterprise mobility. So we have a huge breadth of offering on the cloud. The cloud for Microsoft is not just Microsoft Azure. What we see in Microsoft Azure, the growth that we see, is we see 120,000 new subscriptions every single month. 120,000, that's huge. We see that about 85% of enterprise Fortune 500 customers have one of the Microsoft clouds, either Office 365, Azure, Dynamics 365, or a combination of those. So this is the depth at which we provide cloud and how serious we are about cloud. In terms of scale, we are unrivaled in terms of scale in the market. We have 36 regions with 100 plus data centers. We're announcing new regions every month. We have one in Singapore, we have two in Australia, we have in Japan, we have partnerships in China. We have new data centers in India. We've rolled out a data center in UK and Germany. So we're really, really driving this opportunity, and we've invested $18 billion in data center cloud technology in the past few years. $18 billion. That's how serious we are about the cloud. We are also delivering an immense amount of new features through the cloud. A lot of our partners and our customers, and even ourselves, just to train and to be aware of all the new opportunities that are offered, it's like drinking from a fire hydrant. Literally, this is painful. But this is what we need to do to deliver value to our customers and our partners. So we've seen the scale. We've seen the amount of features we're being rolled out. Now, that's just Microsoft's view. What does the industry think about that? Well, we are the only provider of cloud that is leader in all the six magic quadrants from Gartner, in the server virtualization, in the public cloud space, in the cloud infrastructure as a service, in terms of disaster recovery as a service, enterprise application platform, and the identity and access management as a service. So really, we are serious about it, and the industry recognizes that we are delivering high-quality products to our customers and our partner. Now, I touched a little bit about it before. How can we be the partner of choice or the platform of choice if we are not open to the technologies that our customers are using? We've significantly pivoted our strategy for more openness. You've seen it since Satya joined Microsoft, or has become our leader. He's opened Office 365 for iPad because people prefer to use Office 365 on the iPad. There's a fantastic experience on Windows, but a lot of you have devices, and if we want you to use our products, we need to be where you choose to use them. Same thing for our being the cloud platform of choice. We need to be open to the technologies that you use and that you prefer to use. So we have a strong commitment and strong partnership with Red Hat, where you can code on Java, on Ruby on Rails, with Node.js. You can use WordPress websites. You can use Puppet or Chef to manage your DevOps for management. We've acquired Xamarin. So there's lots of reasons why we need to be open, and we need to be where you want to be. Lastly, there is no cloud if there is no trust. And trust, we cannot tell you to trust us. We need to deserve your trust. And to deserve your trust, we are doing four things. One is we are ensuring security for your data and applications. And what do I mean by that? Microsoft data centers are probably the most attacked in the world. So we have some experience in battling those attacks. And what we do is we package up that experience in Windows Server 2016 in Azure to protect your data. So that's how serious we are about security. The second is privacy and control. You control your data, and you are the only owner of your data. And it's not about just saying it, it's about demonstrating it. And we're demonstrating it right now. Microsoft won a case in the US against the US government saying, we do not give our customers data that is cross-border. There was a case brought in to get emails from an email server based out of Ireland, and the US government wanted to get access to that customer, which was based in Ireland, and Microsoft said no, because we protect our customers' privacy. If you as a business are being requested data by the government, we will not give that data. It is only up to you to give that data to the government. It is because we do not own or see your data. The second is about compliancy. There are rules and regulations in each market, so we need to adhere to those rules and regulation. And as a company, we have one of the deepest and longest list of compliance certificates to certify our public cloud, because we need to be able to help you adhere to the local laws and regulations. And the last portion is about transparency. Transparency so that you can choose if this cloud is valuable to you. Transparency is about understanding what our policies are on how we use, store, and secure your data. If you read our policy, this is what our policy is. And then with this policy, you can choose, am I putting it in the cloud or am I not putting it in the cloud? So this is our commitment to the cloud, and this is how we earn your trust, through actions. Now today, we're here to talk about Windows Server 2016, System Center 2016, and Operations Management. The reality is very few and very rare are the companies that are going to go only public cloud, and very few, very rare companies are going to stay for the long-term future only in private cloud. And I'd like to say that we did a survey across Asia Pacific with about 1,000, 1,100 respondents, including many of them in Malaysia. And what we see is about 40% of the organizations in Malaysia have an integrated hybrid cloud solution or hybrid cloud platform. Now, if you compare that to other markets, it's quite interesting. Malaysia has one of the highest percentage of hybrid cloud, more than Australia. And you're growing faster. We see that in the next 12 to 18 months, there will be 4% more companies that have a strong integrated hybrid cloud solution. So we see that hybrid cloud is very relevant in the Malaysian market. It's relevant, and we want to address this. So what we address this is we address hybrid cloud across a bunch of different solutions, storage, a database, identity, application integration, infrastructure, networking, and platform. So we really want to be able to be the provider of choice for your on-prem, for your cloud, and for your integrated hybrid cloud. Sorry. Now, to facilitate that for you, we don't want to have different technologies in the private cloud, in the public cloud, different management. You want one skill set. You want one platform. So we need to have cloud consistency across your different places. Cloud consistency in the private cloud, cloud consistency in the public cloud, and into your hybrid integration management, hybrid storage, hybrid apps. So this is one of the fundamental reasons, for example, we changed our licensing from proc to core, because core is the currency of the cloud. What are top concerns in Malaysia around IT? And this is, again, extracted from the APAC survey that we did. And this is really specifically Malaysia data. So security threats is actually by far the main concern for the people we interviewed. So 70% of decision makers say that malware and data theft is the key concern. We've also seen that 69% of IT managers recruiting people say this is the key skill set that we want to recruit for, and we're having trouble finding the right people. So we need to be better at educating, at delivering this solution, but also educating the market so that you can have the professional that deliver on the security. Second is data efficiency. You don't want to be stuck in operations. You want to deliver on strategic and key initiatives for the business. So what we need to do as a provider is take out some of those operations, automate some of those operations to deliver a higher, more time to you so that you can focus on the key strategic initiatives. Now, how do we address these concerns? And we're very serious about these top three concerns and addressing them through Windows Server 2016. First, security at the operating system level. And I'll go a little bit deeper into each of these pillars. Second, software-defined data center to deliver operational efficacy. And lastly, cloud-ready applications. And cloud-ready applications is to speed up the innovation cycle and reduce some of that complexity in the innovation cycle. Now, security threats. I'll be very generic because we have fantastic presentations coming up on how to illustrate some of the technologies we've built into Windows 2016. But to protect your identity, we've embedded malware and threat protection in Windows Server 2016. We've also given you just-in-time and just-enough administration. And let me make this real. You have recruited a new person in your team. You don't know them very well. They're still in a trial period. So you want to give them just enough admin and just in time. So you want to time-bound their rights on your platform. And as you build trust with this person, then you can expand their rights. The last thing is shielded VMs. And shielded VMs means that the network administrator, the backup administrator, the storage administrator do not have access to the data on your VM. You are shielded. So only the VM administrator has access to the data on the VM. Somebody steals the disk, the data walks out the door, doesn't matter. Nobody's going to be able to read the data. Nobody's going to be able to take your data. Hopefully you have a backup of that, but we have solutions for that too. Data efficiency. So essentially, we've packaged up some of the hyperscale technologies that we needed to use and develop to deploy Azure and packaged it right back up into Windows Server 2016. That means resilient compute. You will see a demonstration of how much power and how much memory you can use with Windows Server 2016. It's really impressive. We've also packaged up software-defined storage with storage replica to give you high availability, with storage quality of service, and lastly, with software-defined storage. So SAN-like capabilities with commodity hardware embedded with in Windows Server 2016. And the last thing, and the last key technology in Windows Server 2016 is how do we help you develop and deploy more innovation and faster innovation. So we now support containers, Windows Server and Hyper-V containers. We want you to be able to run more, have more security, so we've developed Nano Server. Nano Server gives you just the right footprint and just the right space to be able to less surface attack space. Now, containers is a really new, great new technology. You package up your apps, you package up the dependencies, and so when you develop the application on your desktop or PC as a developer, and you package it up as a container, when you push it across a production environment, a test environment, a production environment, you know that you won't have the dependencies problem because they're all packaged into one container. So it's code once, deploy across. That means you can also roll out innovation at a much faster pace. And containers are really, really central to DevOps. So we wanted to ensure that we, with Windows Server 2016, we delivered that technology to you. And the last piece is operations management. Operations management, which is in the cloud, this is not 2016. For operations management, to make it more effective in your data center, we want to make sure that you have log analytics, backup and disaster recovery out of the box, IT automation with PowerShell, so a graphical user interface to help you automate some of the tasks, and lastly, security and compliance. We'll have a great demo of operations management as well, and today I don't think there's enough awareness about this fantastic tool that really will help you automate and reduce some of the operational tasks so that you can focus on the strategic initiatives in your business. The last thing I want to touch about is Microsoft Azure Stack. So a lot of you have heard about Azure Stack, and Azure Stack is going to be, because it's only available next year, is going to be the realization of a unified cloud across environments. So think of it as Azure in a box. Not every customer can go entirely public cloud. You can do hybrid, and this is an opportunity for our customers to be able to package it up. Defense customers, financial services customers, healthcare customers that hold patient records. Most of our customers will choose to have a large portion in the public cloud, but there is some data that cannot be pushed to public cloud. So Azure Stack will be the realization of the full vision of one cloud for all. Now, what's next? So a great presentation isn't great if I don't give you offers. So we have actually really, really great launch offers that a lot of you can take today. The first one is the hybrid usage benefits. People who have Windows Server with software assurance have rights to have reduced virtual machines in the cloud. Essentially, if you have software assurance and if you have one Windows Server standard, you can choose to run that operating system on a server. And once the hardware runs out or you need to refresh it, you can choose to buy a new server and use that license. Or you can choose to use that operating system in the cloud to get a Windows VM at a Linux cost, because you own that operating license. The second thing is if you have a Windows Server data center license, well, you can get a Windows VM in the cloud at a Linux price, but you can run it both on-prem and in the cloud at the same time. So this means that your investments in Windows Server with software assurance are future-proof. You're really ensuring that transition and that you are making the investments you're making today are valuable tomorrow. Second is we have a really, really great VMware migration offer. Meaning, if you commit to move your VMs from VMware to Hyper-V, we can give you the Windows Server data licenses for the cost of software assurance. Which means that if you have a data center license and a software assurance for the cost of software assurance, you also get the hybrid use benefits. And the last point is, if you have Windows Server standard with software assurance, you can get 20% off the data center step-up SKU. So if you want to step up to data center to have access to shielded VMs, some of the advanced storage capabilities, some of the software-defined data center opportunities, you can step up to data center with 20% off. So what's next? Well, talk to your account manager, talk to your partner, get hold of some of the offers. You can try Azure, you can try OMS, you can download the trial evaluation of Windows Server 2016, and you can register to some of our activities. We have Azure Discovery Days, we have Azure Everywhere Workshop, and we have OMS Accelerator Workshop. So the Azure Everywhere and OMS Accelerator Workshops are 4 to 5 day engagements where partners actually deliver a POC in your environment with live data. So at the end of the POC, if you are ready, you can just leave that running because it can be a production workload. So these are really high value workshops that we enable you to have in the market. So talk to your account manager. It's a really, really great opportunity. Now I'm going to hand it off to our great team that's going to do demo. Thank you, Noel and his team. And I'm really excited about the demos he's going to show you. Thank you.
Thank you, Sonia. Thank you. All right, guys. Welcome again. It's so great to see so many familiar faces and friends in the room. Right? I think for a speaker, right, with such a crowd, there's no better place to be right at this time. So let's get started. All right, we have a whole slew of demos prepped for you, all right? And without saying, there's a lot of exciting stuff that has been put in place. So I call this the need for speed and power because that's what Sonia was saying. There's so much power that has been packed into Windows Server that is amazing, all right? So, but before we jump into that, I just wanted to show you a little bit of where that power is coming from. So first and foremost, if you look at where Hyper-V in 2016 is, we've gone into 24 terabytes in a single box, right? This amazing scalability, right? I don't think we have ever reached that amount before. And of course, that with 512 logical processors. But imagine a virtual machine with 12 terabytes of RAM, right? I don't think we have ever seen that kind of scale before, right? And with 240 virtual CPU. So you have a treat today, because very shortly, I'm going to show you that exact kind of configuration, very close to what you're seeing up here, all right? Guess what? Not so long ago, we only supported 4 miserable virtual CPU, all right? And it's really, really pathetic. But a few years later, we went to 64, from a single digit to a 2-digit. And now we are into a 3-digit number, right, with 240. So in that short time of 7 years, if you want, we have actually gone from 4 to 64, that's 16 times, and from 4 to 240, and that's 60 times. Right now, the question that a lot of people ask is, how did Microsoft do this? Right, there's only one answer to that, and that's Azure in your data center. Literally, Azure has downloaded all these capabilities into a shrink wrap package called Windows Server. So when you go try Windows Server, literally, you're actually getting the best of Azure in a software-defined manner in that box. All right, so let me show you the demo, all right, that I've put in store for you. So this is the... let me just get this out of the way first. So I have 2 virtual machines that is prepped for you. One is running Windows Server 2016. As you can see, I actually have 240 virtual CPU spun up in the Task Manager. I don't think anyone has seen this. In fact, I only got this going like yesterday. All right, thanks to the help of the great team out there from HPE, and I urge you to go over to their booth because they will show you more about this box that they have really put together. All right, so you can see this at their booth after this demo. Right, and this particular machine not only has 240 virtual CPU, it actually has 5.5 terabytes of RAM in a single virtual machine. We are not talking about at the physical level. The physical server actually has 6 terabytes. All right, but I can go higher than this, but I thought 5.5 is quite a comfortable sweet spot, so I left it at that. Right, so this massive box, all right, can run literally anything. So some of the other capabilities we're showing you shortly will actually take over from that perspective. But guess what? Microsoft loves Linux as well, right? So with that said, we actually also created a CentOS virtual machine, which is the one that you saw just now. And I actually have a little command that will spin up all the virtual CPUs that this particular machine has. So let's sorry, where's my pointer? All right, here you go. So you can see 0 and 1, which is up there. All right, so we have 1, and then, of course, we have 0 further up. And as you go down, we can actually see all 240 virtual CPU actually assigned to this particular CentOS virtual machine. So as you can see, whatever we make available for Windows Server, right, we make it available for Linux. So it's truly a first-class citizen, if you want, on a on-premise Hyper-V environment. As much as you can build up that really big environment in the cloud, which I'm going to hand you over to Darren shortly, you have seen with your own eyes what you can do on-premise, right? The biggest ever system you can build. All right, over to you, Darren.
Great, thanks, Noel. So if I want to do the similar type of thing in the cloud, well, I can do it today. So this is my Azure subscription that I have up here, and I'm running some high-intensity workloads. So one of them, beyond a shadow of a doubt, is SQL Server, and that's a database that I'm running here. Now, I'm actually running in the Singapore data center, not far from us, and I'll show you in a sec, but I'm running one of the G-series virtual machines. G actually stands for Godzilla. It's kind of a code name, and then it made it in there. But not only have I got the G-series available to me, but I can scale down and I can scale up as well. So we now have, that's why it's taken some time to load, we now have a huge range of virtual machines which is available to us that we can choose in terms of the scale. So I'll just let that load. So I'm not running these at the moment, but the D series was very popular. DS in this particular case means that they support SSD storage and they support SSD premium storage. So they're very fast in terms of IOPS that's inside there. If I scroll down a little bit further, you'll see the G series that I'm actually running. Let's just find that. Here we are. So I'm actually running a GS1 at the moment, 2 cores, 28 gigabytes of RAM at a 5,000 IOPS. But I can, when I want the capacity, move up to a GS5 running out of Singapore at 32 cores, half a terabyte of RAM, and IOPS of 80,000. So I can do that. I can run that for a while, and I can scale that back down afterwards. So I can get phenomenal hardware in literally the space of 3 or 4 minutes and just provision that. But also, I can scale back down to micro scale as well. So if I go right down the bottom here, some of Azure's most popular virtual machines are the A0 Basic and the A1 Basic, tiny virtual machines dev test that you can literally run for a few cents. So I can scale from tiny all the way up to the very high. Now, if I wanted to add a virtual machine talking about some very powerful workloads, there's probably not any workload that's probably more powerful than SAP. So here, when I'm provisioning a new virtual machine, not only do I have Windows Server 2016 now, SQL Server 2016, but I've got Red Hat, I've got Oracle, all the open source that Sonia mentioned earlier. But I can also search for SAP, and one of the big workloads in SAP is SAP HANA. Now, setting that up is a little bit difficult, and so we have here already an image set up ready to go, and I can provision that against the very same virtual machines that I showed you just now. So we can start really small, or we can go up to half a terabyte of RAM and soon more. Thanks, Noel.
All right, thank you, thank you. Thank you, Darian. So what we're gonna do next is, what you have seen is really huge system in the cloud, right? Including even inline memory type analytical systems like SAP HANA. So we actually did the same thing, but we put it on-premise. So as we showed you, right now we're gonna have Pua from Lenovo who's gonna talk to you about that particular system that he has built.
Hi, thanks, Noel. Good morning. So I'm Pua from Lenovo. So just now you have seen, now we have option running SAP HANA on Azure Cloud. So SAP HANA is actually an in-memory database from SAP used for a SAP application. So typically it's run on huge physical machine with huge memory up to 6 terabyte or even 12 terabyte. So what we are doing now is basically we are running SAP HANA VM on the Hyper-V 2016. Okay, as you can see, we have created this monster VM, I call it. You have 96 gig of RAM with 32 virtual CPU, and also 1 terabyte of disk space for this SAP HANA virtual machine. So a bit on the left, you can see it's actually a SUSE, a console running the HANA database. For those who are familiar with HANA system. So this is the SAP HANA Studio, which actually shows a running SAP DB instance. Again, you can see that basically the HANA virtual machine is able to recognize and utilize the full up to 96 gig of memory. So memory is the essential component in in-memory computing database. So basically, we have demonstrated Hyper-V 2016 able to run intensive workload like SAP HANA. As a customer, now you have a choice based on your requirement and your workload. Either you want to run on-premise or on the Azure cloud. So do join us on our breakout session, and I can share more about Lenovo Engineered System with Windows 2016. Okay, thanks.
Thank you, Pua. Thank you. So what we have installed next is, Sonia talked about security being so prominent and so important, right? So we felt we had to stitch together a really compelling security, a set of security demos for you. So the security demo we have planned comes in two parts. The first part, Rinquan's gonna take you through. I'm not gonna steal his thunder, right? So over to you, Rinquan.
All right, thanks, Noel. Morning, guys. So what I'll show is Shielded VM. What Shielded VM is a security that built into Windows Server 2016 that it allows the Service Fabric do not have access to your data. For example, you have finance data that you shouldn't have access as an IT administrator, right? So what Shielded VM give you is actually the encryptions that prevent storage admins, prevent Fabric's admin do not have access to the data while the end user can have it. So let me just show you a quick demo. As you can see, open up Hyper-V. You can see the tenant VM running exactly already there, right? And you have access if you want. So let's say that we open up the disk, right, for these virtual machines. It's locating in the storage, cluster storage. So let me open up the cluster storage. And looking for the VM that I'm not supposed to access to, I can essentially see the disk here, and this disk is the hard disk of all the contents of the file. Let's say I'm a malicious admin and I copy the disk out to somewhere, to my laptops or to my USB drive. I can do this simple attack, double click on it, and I can essentially see the files inside which I'm not supposed to access, right? So what should the VM give us is that the peace of mind of the encryptions, where you can have another VM that I have pre-shielded before this. If I do the same thing with double click, so what you can see here is the drive is locked, right? I couldn't have access to the data with the same method. Even if I look it through, then it shows that it's encrypted. So do join us on the later sessions that we will talk more into a technical portion of it, right? So I'll pass back to Noah. Thank you.
Thank you, Rinquan. Thank you. So what we have next is something really exciting. I know many of you in the room are security buffs yourself. So I've invited one of the top security people in the country, right, my dear friend Clement, all right, who's going to walk you through some very common scenarios that I want you to be totally aware of. So if anything, when you leave this place, you go back and prevent this problem from happening to your organization. Over to you, Clement.
Thanks, Noel. Good morning, friends. I have two quick demos in less than 2 minutes, all right? The first one is about what happens as you as an administrator when you browse your internet on your Windows server, right? So I'm actually using all the community version stuff, those that are freely available, so you don't have to actually spend a dime, okay? Very quick, I'm actually putting up, I'm gonna create a clone website, obviously not Microsoft, no. Facebook.com, right? And it actually creates a clone of it. It injects an applet into it, or any kind of code. For this matter, I've taken an applet, and I'm actually giving a shellcode version of it, which can bypass literally all antiviruses. Okay, so that's why it says antivirus safe, the number 13, hit enter. He also tells me, I put up a port number 443 because most of the firewalls don't inspect that. Okay, then he actually gives me number 1, which is the metaprinter, which runs from the memory of your server, hence your antivirus don't scan it. So, well, I never wrote a single line of code, did I? Everything is pretty much done, right? You just follow through it, and it actually creates a 64-bit PowerShell, 32-bit PowerShell, Linux-based exploits, Mac-based stuffs, and all is done, okay? As it actually loads up, he actually tested on multiple browsers for you. So So you don't have to do anything. Just have to just have a view of what he's up to. Okay, that's it. It's all set up. I'm going to my Windows Server. Everything active. Okay, enhanced security configurations, your Windows firewalls, everything is on. Defenders, to you can call for anything. Okay, so I'm actually browsing to that particular IP of that machine. Right, so that opens up the fake Facebook. Okay, so as it actually opens up, you can see this guy in the back starts streaming things across to this guy. Okay, so there you go. You see that signupdate.jar and all of that, which actually sends across. So across over here, you get this. Okay, this screen is completely customizable. Any button you click, you're finished. Like people think, okay, I have to click on run. If I actually click on cancel, it will not infect any button. Okay, cool. So let's take that for that matter. Okay, don't worry about this guy. I just hit a snag on the exploit. So you see that Metaperator session one opened? That is a connection from the Windows Server machine all the way into my hacker machine, and I can connect it to it as if I'm remoting into it. Okay, how do I actually prove that I'm inside that machine? Screenshot. That gives me what's up there on that machine. Okay, so I'm actually sitting on the memory of the machine, okay? And you can actually done a whole lot of stuff. You can actually control the system. You can actually dump the passwords. You can take a control of the webcam. Obviously, server don't have webcam there, right? So you have a lot of stuff over here which comes pre-built. Okay, end of demo number one all. Now demo number two. Okay, how many of you guys have actually experienced ransomware by yourself? One, two, three, four. Okay, cool. Oh, yeah. A Windows Server 2016 got hit in ransomware when you built the demo. Okay, cool. Now, okay, fine, coming in over here. Okay, I've actually built, okay, thanks to my friends in Trend Micro, they have given me the real virus, okay? So I've actually loaded up over here. I have certain sample documents down here, which is just a normal Windows document. Cool, right? So it's a normal Windows document. I've just opened one. And now I have this original ransomware. I'm going to run it. Okay, and what it is actually, okay, what it does is, it actually goes in, reads through all your file directories, any network disks and NAS or whatever you have connected to that particular server, takes a stock of it, and starts encrypting all of them, and then it actually destroys the algorithm so you don't get the decryption key, and it actually puts up a screen cap saying that, hey guys, welcome into our world of ransomware, you need to pay this much amount to me before you get the decryption key. So that's how the whole stuff works, right? And we have tons of infections in Malaysia. We work with Cybersecurity Malaysia, and on like 14th of April, CSM issued a national alert of the number of infections that is actually happening. So this guy is like pretty much busy, and you see all these files? All of it is encrypted. Except the file that I opened, because he doesn't get an access. Rest, all files got encrypted. You can't open that anymore. And you got this beautiful black screen in the back. Your personal files are encrypted. And he also gives you a very easy wizard, which actually loads up. Next, 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 he'll take you where you need to go and pay. That mission is gone. Okay, cool. Thank you, guys. If you want to know how to defend, mitigate, I'm outside in my booth. We can talk about it. Thanks, Noel. Back to you.
Thank you, Clement. Now, what inspired me to bring someone like Clement into a demo like this is actually to help wake you up. As administrators in the room, please do not use any of your servers to browse the internet. Doesn't matter how safe the site is. You cannot take the risk. Okay? So that's the key point. Now, next bit that I want to take you through is actually how security permeates from the cloud into the on-prem. Right, you saw all this coming in this way, right? We have protection for you that's really, really strong coming from OMS, from Azure itself, and I'm going to hand you over to Darian to make that live for you.
Very good. Thanks, Noel. So this is my operations management suite. Like Sonia said, it's an amazing product. I'd also just want to highlight, at the moment, I'm using the free data plan. So this is something that you guys can go back and try in your environment straight away and get exactly the same results. In this particular environment, I have a multi-cloud environment with multiple servers, and these tabs up here are solutions that I've loaded in out of the box. So in particular, I'm going to look at SQL Server first, a bit of a SQL Server fan, and it's analyzed my SQL Server environment for security, business continuity, performance, and scalability. In security, though, I have a high priority recommendation, which it's found across my SQL servers, and sure enough, it's discovered that I've got blank passwords in my SQL Server, which is something that we all collect over time, because people put them in there and then they forget to take them out, which is very easy to do. Unfortunately, in terms of the impact, as you can see here, it's catastrophic, but it's very easy to actually rectify. I've got the problem on three of my SQL servers, which you can see here, and it even gives me the T-SQL script that I can run to actually check for blank passwords. So that's the security standpoint just from SQL Server. But there's also a security and audit component which runs across all of the servers in my environment. Now this is very interesting, because if I have a look at detections here, it's actually seen that I've had three failed RDP brute force attacks sessions launched at my servers. The reason is because the RDP, the remote connection port that I have in my Azure servers, I've left open to the internet. And within a few minutes, you can actually see that I've had a number of accesses to them. In fact, it gets detailed here. This is out of the box. I did no configuration here. I've had nearly 8,000 failed attempts at people trying to get into my servers using these usernames and going through and trying to find my password. That's pretty shocking. So as soon as I'm done with this demo, I'm going to go and close those RDP ports so only I have access to them. Right, Noel, thanks very much.
Thank you, Darian. Thank you. So the last portion for our demo session during this keynote, right? I'm going to introduce you to Raymond and Law, who's going to take you through how we manage on-premise and from the cloud, right? Truly an end-to-end management from one end to the other end. Doesn't matter which part of the network that you sit in, you'll be managed. Ultimately, we have the end-to-end management sewn in. Over to you, Raymond.
Thanks, Noel. So in case you want to see more of what Darian did and what I will be doing as well, please come to the 4:15 session. That's the only most important session of the day. Now, the guys have been showing you really great stuff today, right? From what the capabilities of Windows Server 2016 can do. From a perspective of scalability of what Noel and Darian showed, and also Pua, and from a security aspect, from what Renquan and also Clement really importantly highlighted, right? Now, Darian also mentioned about how operations management suite today can already have the capabilities out of the box to be able to check and balance your security audits from a holistic perspective. Now, if we bring it back down to on-premise, System Center 2016 then complements and blankets this whole entire infrastructure, kind of like a caring mother. You know, we all have caring mothers, right? Caring mothers nurtures us, takes care of us, manages us, configures us, maybe sometimes. But that's kind of what System Center 2016 does, right? So System Center 2016 takes away all the complexities and from a single console is able to make sure that securities are taken care of, putting the plaster when you're injured, patching your machines, taking care of inventory, taking care of even disaster recovery, automate disaster recovery, and even monitoring your entire system to make sure that everything is healthy. Now, Darian showed to you the SQL Server management from a security aspect. Now, this screen that you see is basically System Center Operations Manager looking at your SQL servers from a holistic performance, health, metrics. So imagine database administrators today. I can be a part-time database administrator, and I can look at my database and say, everything is looking perfectly fine. I'm looking for a memory pressure issue. It looks fine, and this whole entire dashboard is basically able to be available to all of us out of the box, right? I did not actually configure anything. This was basically what you can see in System Center 2016. Now, what's most important here is this, not just the monitoring of SQL Server alone, but how does the monitoring of SQL Server then roll up and complement the entire monitoring of that application itself? Now, that SQL Server database actually contains data of my stock trader application. Now, I have some very important stocks up there, and I'm trading a lot of people's stocks in that application. And I need to make sure that I look at every single component of my app database, my web server, my web services, my application, my middleware servers, and also network devices that is connecting all the servers together. System Center 2016 has advanced enhancements today to be able to monitor even up to the network device layer, any network device in any platforms. So that's the enhancements that's available today. Now, how many of you here have managers that constantly shouts, "Where is my report?" Nobody here, so good. How many of you are those managers? Four hands, right? Yeah. So what Windows Server Operations Management Suite now is able to do is all OMS can actually take all the logs from Windows Server, all the logs from applications, all the monitoring data that you saw earlier, and rolls it up into the Operations Management Suite database so that you are now able to search across all those logs and all those data from one single platform. Now, why is that important? So it's important because as a manager now, I don't have to rely, or even if I'm the one that's doing the report, I don't have to spend days. How many of you have spent days creating a report? Days, right? How many of you have spent weeks? This guy, weeks creating a report. Now with the ability of Power BI, right, managers can actually pick up a phone. If I want to see a report, if there's any message, this is my personal phone, so if there's any messages, just ignore it. I can open up a Power BI dashboard and basically look at dashboards that has been pre-created for me, right? And this is one, let me just do it this way so everybody can see. This is a Power BI dashboard, that's my fish tank. Pretty nice fish, eh? Now that fish, those fishes actually is showing me the heartbeat of my servers. The bigger the fish means the servers are performing healthily, right? I can basically look at my performance dashboards as well, right? And all from basically a single mobile and any device and any platform. Now, how long does it take to build a dashboard like that? Days? Hours? Let's see if we can do it on stage. Law, why don't you show it to them?
Okay, so basically we'll be leveraging on Power BI for this particular scenario, okay? Power BI portal can be accessed using your web browser, basically any web browser, and you can actually create the reports or the dashboards that you would like. So let me just very simply just drag and drop. Let me just select a performance counter that I want to allow my users to actually select. So let me just put, maybe drag some things like object name in, counter name, computer name, and instance name, for example. And if you can see on your left-hand side now, you can actually select the logical disk, the data, the performance counter that you want to view, okay? But we have not actually seen the graph yet. So let me just quickly now drag a line graph into the story, okay? And let's just put the timeline as the axis, and legend, let's just use the counter path, and let's use values for counter values as the value that you want to display, okay? So while this is loading, it's taking a bit of time, this Power BI portal or this Power BI dashboards that we have can be published into your mobile phones, your, obviously from a Power BI page itself, and also from a SharePoint page, SharePoint portal if you want to. And basically, this is the steps taken to actually generate the report out. But it seems that my connection is having a bit of problem getting the graph out.
Yeah. But that is basically how we basically created the dashboard to be able to get on my phone earlier. So it doesn't take days, it doesn't take weeks, it literally takes now minutes to create dynamic and intelligent dashboards. So that's kind of how Windows Server, System Center, OMS, and Azure kind of rolls up as a single efficient ecosystem. Over to you, back to you, Noah.
Thank you, Raymond. Thank you, Law. So we are right at the end. All right, I don't want to hold up the other bits of exciting activities we have in store. Just to summarize, you saw how we managed the on-prem, we managed the cloud, from the cloud down back to the on-prem. You saw massive servers and so forth, right? Basically, hopefully, you take the messages and you take some of the learnings that you can actually make a lot of these things happen. So please go visit the booth, talk to the speakers, talk to us, so that we can help you take this journey in a more exciting and more fast-moving manner. All right, back to the MC. Thank you.